Blog Talk Radio.
I never believed that. I thought you were a myth.
Well, I'm not. But I will tell you something that is. The belief that human beings are kind.
No, Caesar. There are some.
Oh, a handful perhaps, but not most of them. Oh, they won't learn to be kind until we force them to. We can't do that until we are free.
How do you propose to gain this freedom?
By the only means left to us. Revolution.
But it's doomed to failure.
Perhaps. This time.
And the next.
Maybe.
But you'll keep trying.
You, above everyone else, should understand. We cannot be free until we have power. How else can we achieve it?
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos, where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a logger.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Divas, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Time just moves along, folks. Time just moves along. Again, welcome to the midweek edition of AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk. We have a lot to get into, and I do mean a lot. We're going to get into our musings. We're going to get into some facts. We're going to get into some opinions. And we're going to also discuss some things that are basically continuing discussions from the last show on Sunday. But before we get into the discourse, let's get into some Muzak. Of course, we always play the best in urban alternative listening, urban alternative music. This is a classic. KRS-One, a friend. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
The beat's supposed to drop right there. The beat's supposed to drop right there. The beat's supposed to drop right there. I send this one out to my right-hand man, or men, or women, the whole crew, real fans. Count the door, kick up, blow a chill out, watching videos, or acting really silly, yo, but really though, all that could end. Whether at the bar with superstars or cruising in a supercar, I really don't care who you are, all I really need is a friend. If we can't have trust, then you can't hang with us. We respond to those who show respect with respect. We respond, we connect on the same deck, same intellect. My man, never shift these things quickly if you can't understand. We boys, we boys, we can stand on the corner with a hat selling toys. It ain't about your bends, I hope it ain't about mine, my man. I be dissing in my freestyle rhyme, getting G's around the world. I could trust you with my girl, my man. We chilling at the jam, what's the plan? I'm not a yes man, and none of my friends are yes men or women. I'm driving, I see my piece, you get in, where you fit in. True friends are quick to sit in the beginning of all trouble. And when your bank goes double, Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble. Still, I got my own space like couple. We could count the door, we'll pick up, blow a chill out, watching videos or acting really silly, yo, but really though, all that can end. Whether at the bar with superstars or cruising in a supercar, I really don't care who you are, all I really need is a friend.
Okay, folks, enough of that. Again, the mighty KRS-One, a friend, a friend. Folks, welcome to AFNR featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Do not be scared, as I always say. Feel free to give us your protestations, your questions, and your comments, and we will respond live on air. Okay, and of course, I could not do this show, definitely could not do it, at least not effectively, without my partner in white-collar crime. You know, if the AFNR goes down, it's going to be for white-collar crime for Major Lucci, if I were the dishonest kind. Anyway, we can't do it unless we have the captain. Captain, you are needed on the bridge.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Captain.
Yes, yes, yes. I have mixed up my magic potion so the investors can give us a large donation. You understand? Here we are. Let's get it started, sir. Let's get it hopping. Let's get it popping, sir Afro Nerd. Let's go.
Okay. Okay. Listen, folks, you know we have a 90-minute blast for you, a 90-minute package for you. And you know what, Captain? I'm going to just go over just a couple of things off the cuff before we get into the topics at hand, some things that have just been bothering me, my personal musings, some things you've heard me discuss with you behind the scenes. This is a continuation from a very festive discussion we had on Sunday's show. And I don't want to really get into it, you know, full-length style. I don't want to do a full-length, full-body kind of thing, but I do want to just, you know, dip my toe into it for a brief spell and then dip out of it. We were talking about Serena Williams, the fantastic athlete. No one could take anything away from her or her sister. We just cannot do that. She is a supreme athlete, and she was more than deserving for her gold medal win in London last week. However, what has been trending for a few days, or I should say now going on more than a week, it's still hanging around, Catherine, because I think there's something to it. It's just not that innocuous. I think people would like for it to be innocuous, but I think that it is not. This infamous 10-second crip walk that she did. And we were going back and forth about this thing with the great Daryl B., who is a friend of the show, and of course he is a compatriot and colleague with us on our comic shop show that airs every Sunday at 6. Anyway, he was very passionate. All of us were very passionate, even Mike Dean from the West Coast. Everyone was passionate about this crip walk. Daryl had the belief that this was pop culture, that she was just being herself, that you know, it might be some hypocritical thinking that other folks can do their cultural dances, their cultural shout-outs without there being any real repercussions, without there being any real heavy analysis. So I almost would have let this go, Captain. Honestly, you know me. I would have almost let it go. And I said it on air that what made me become suspicious, what made me employ my Steve Austin eyebrow raise, was the commenters in YouTube who were saying, she's keeping it hood. She's keeping it real. That was my first clue that this is going to hell, that this is not what it appears to be. Now, for those who are familiar with the Williams sisters' history, there was a story that actually I can't believe it's been about 10 years now. I can't believe it's been about 10 years, Captain. A very tragic story involving the Williams sisters' half-sister, Yetunde, if I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Yetunde Price, the late your Tunde Price. I remember that she lost her life a few years ago. I didn't know that it was almost 10 years. She died September 14th, 2003. And I knew she died, quote unquote, in the hood. Of course, I prefer to use the word neighborhood. I'm not into lower tier colloquialisms. I'm not into that. But for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to say hood. She died in the hood, which I thought was unbecoming of her because she's a sister of the great Williams clan. And I remember that she died over her boyfriend, or her boyfriend was somewhat involved, perhaps indirectly. Come to find out, Captain, that when they found out who actually did this, who actually did this dastardly deed, it was a member of the Southside Crips. A member of the Crips. Now, this makes this argument to me a shutdown. It makes me say, it's over. It's done. Check and mate. Check and mate, Captain. Why would someone – this cannot be perceived as just an innocuous thing now. Logically, I'm asking our audience, and you can call in on this. But, well, listen, this is going to be a brief thing. If you want to call in, you can. But – and I want to get your opinion, and we're going to move along, Captain. How is this just a dance now? Logically, Captain, logically, how is it just a dance? How is it just pop culture when you're doing a little ditty, you're doing a little hip-hop thing based on or originating from the organization that was responsible for taking the life of a loved one? So now it's even more infamous and even more close to home than it could ever be. That's why I became suspicious when I heard she's keeping it hood and she's keeping it real, because as in the skit of Dave Chappelle, this is when keeping it real goes wrong. That's it. Captain, you have anything to say on that?
Well, here's the reality. Here's the reality. Keeping it hood and keeping it real, only black people. Now, everybody, a lot of times, they have come through the hood. Jewish people, Italian people, Polish people, but only black people are hugging the hood. Only black people are the ones that seem like they can't evolve. You're in the hood because you don't have the finances. You're in the hood because you don't have the education that allows you to get the finances. That's why you go to college. That's why you do these things at the fine institution, so you can get the stamp of approval so you can go out and work somewhere, so you can make the money, so you don't have to go through the hood. Why are we constantly grabbing the hood? If you constantly say, I have to grab the hood, that means you can't evolve regardless of whatever you do. You might be a millionaire. You might have $100 million if you're Jay-Z. Then you have to keep it hood. Then that brings you back to hood situations, which is jail, which is being murdered. You have to let it go. You're in the hood because you do not have the finances. That's why you're in the hood. That's the bottom line. Let it go. The hood is not embodied within black people. This is what you need. You need knowledge of self, and you need do for self. It's not embodied. The hood is coming. You come through the hood because you do not have the finances. And once you have the finances, let it go. Let it go. Stop hugging the hood. You elevate. Some of you turn around, you elevate. You want to hug the hood. As they say, as some of the rappers would say, I'm hugging the block. You understand? No, don't hug the block. You have elevated. You have a hit record out. Let it go. Let it go so you can elevate your people. Don't embody the hood. The hood is for people that do not have the money, do not have the money. And the reason why you go get educated so you could separate yourself from the people so you can get a stamp of approval from the university from the college institution, you understand, so you can go ahead and make the money, and then you bring up your children, and you bring up your fellow man. That is the goal. That's what everyone has done. Black people, you have to evolve. Let it go. The hood does not live in you. You do not have to be in the hood. Knowledge of self and do for self. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, you know, just quickly, too, with Serena Williams, she was, I think in her dating resume, she dated Common, she dated director Brett Ratner. She dated some high-profile men. You know, she's shopping in Bel Air, shopping in Beverly Hills, and, you know, she's in the company of heads of state and that kind of thing. You're in London in the Olympics. You know, keeping it real means be true to what you're doing now. Be true to who you are. And going backward, you know, no, I'm not even saying you can't do cultural shout-outs. President Barack Obama, when he did a quick singing thing with Al Green earlier this year, that was a cultural shout-out, and people loved it. People love it when you let your hair down. So I'm not advocating for people not to be themselves. But sometimes keeping it hood does not jive well with trying to do a positive. You want a gold medal, then you went back to doing an infamous dance that, you know, it doesn't make, on some level, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would you do a dance from the people, from the organization that led to one of your loved one's demise? That's like if someone in our family or friends were killed by the Klan, and then all of a sudden, out of jest, I'll say white power, you know, or some kind of gesture that is, you know, almost giving credibility. In a sense, Catherine, it gives credibility to the organization, doesn't it? I mean, you do that? I mean, would you want to see President Obama do the Crip walk? Would you want to do that? I mean, I'm looking at it at that level. And we're allegedly, you know, we're going to move along, but allegedly, you know, I'm being a stuck in the mud and I'm not being realistic, and I'm not asking people to not express themselves culturally. But let's be honest about the origins of the culture you're expressing, and let's be consistent. There's some inconsistency there, Captain, and no one is, you know, once I came out with this thing, when it gets that deep and that personal, I'm not really getting any responses now. And that's why I suspect that little dance is lasting, you know, the discussion and the controversy behind the little dance is a little bit deeper than we would like to believe. It's not something that is cute. It's not that cute. All right, moving along.
Hold on, sir. I think there's something on your mindset. It's probably to the front of your mind at this given time. Gabby Douglas, all right? Gabby, the Olympic gymnastics. I think there's something you want to discuss that you have on your mind that you need to get off your chest pertaining to that.
Oh,
Afro,
yeah.
You have the floor, sir. Speak about it.
I don't want to hog it so much, Captain. But
no,
you
have
thank
the
you
floor.
For reminding
I think
me.
It's I think it's necessary that you speak about this. Get into it. Get into the informational diatribe, because it's necessary for our listeners to understand and comprehend what you're delivering to the masses. Go ahead, sir. The floor is yours.
Thank you. As you know, as our audience knows, we are on a campaign against minstrelsy. And on occasion, well, not on occasion, quite frequently, actually, you and I will go back and forth about our visiting, our cyber jogs through the cyber ghettos of Media Takeout, of Bossip, and a whole host of other blogs that really are about the ghetto business or about the promulgation of ghetto shtick, ghetto idiosyncrasies. Anyway, I'm on Media Takeout, I believe yesterday, and they have no shame. I mean, they just don't. That particular website just does not have any shame. I believe it's pretty successful. I believe it's owned by a African gentleman, African attorney. I think his name is Fred something, he's very successful because he's doling out stereotypes, he's doling out minstrel imagery and the like. So, listen, I'm a big fan of Gabby Douglas. I believe that she's a bright light. She's a youthful spirit. She's a young girl. She's only 16 years old. I see a great deal of innocence with her. There's already folks from Spelman are coming out, reaching out to her to get her to come to the school and that kind of thing. Very positive energy. And America is in love with Gabby Douglas. So it broke my heart last week when she won the medal. Maybe like going on 2 weeks now, when she won the gold medals, plural, and her own people to be tribal, her own people, her own sorrows, if you want to be more specific, bypassed her accomplishments, and went back to the back of her head, back to her ponytail, back to her hairstyle or her hair. Her hair texture, you know, just complete buffoonery. Just didn't see it. I didn't see what they saw. It was embarrassing. So you go to Media Takeout, and they're on this child, emphasis child, they're on this child again, talking about how ashy she was leaving the airport. They actually, Captain, actually zeroed in. I had a magnifying glass on her left or right hand in between her thumb and index finger where you saw some dry skin. I don't know what that is. So this is insanity. This is insanity. They don't care that this is a young girl. I mean, I could imagine. You know, she's not an actress. I mean, of course she's a public figure now, but is it really that deep to get a couple of hits on this? Is it now, the following day, they have an ultra-positive story about how good she looks. Now, today they have a story about her looking, you know, talking about how classy she looks and how she's refined and all that. But the day before, they really hit the bottom of the barrel. And perhaps they did such a 180-degree turn, because I would assume they might have gotten such negative feedback on this. And I told you, Captain, that, you know, we're going to talk about this after the musical break. We're going to talk about this as one of our lead stories with the Huffington Post Internet TV live function. Huffington Post, Arianna Huffington, she has a well-renowned news blog that's immense. I would say that it's probably on par with the New York Times or Washington Post. I mean, as far as eyes viewed, maybe even more successful. I mean, as far as the internet, I mean, she was able to garner over $300 million from AOL a few years ago for the purchase of this news site. And now they have a internet TV news service that went live Monday of this week, just a few days ago. And I must confess, I'm addicted to it. And it's also being reported that a lot of people are addicted to this thing because it's professional looking. I mean, we can critique it, and we will after the musical break. We will critique this thing. But for the most part, you know, it has the young hipsters as its newscasters, that whole thing. But the bottom line is, it's a big deal, Captain. It's a big deal. It's on par, even visually, on par and as cutting edge, maybe even more cutting edge, than CNN. The fact that this was a blog that has morphed into its own sustainable news service, TV-style news service. And you look at Media Takeout, that's also been able to garner a great deal of eyes, which is what the internet is all about, Captain. The internet is all about garnering views and eyes and opinions. I see no sense of them going in that direction. So some folks are in the business of providing you sophisticated television viewing, sophisticated internet, cyber TV, and other folks have magnifying glasses on ashy skin. I'm at a loss for words. I'm at a loss. You know, that's what we're dealing with. This is why we do what we do, folks. You can call in, give us your opinion. The numbers are rising. I know that the Afro Nerd infection, the Afro Nerd virus, is working. It is working because the numbers are rising exponentially because they know what we are talking about must be said. And this coonery, this coonery minstrel business has to cease, or if any way, or if anything, if it's not going to cease, it must be compartmentalized. It must be put in a box somewhere and put to the side. Maybe if you can't erase it, put it to the side and let the grown folks do their thing. That's all. That's all. Any thoughts on this deal? I mean, we spoke about this behind the scenes, Captain. Any thoughts on, you know, MTO? They have a lot of views. They're garnering power. I mean, I believe Newsweek or Time or something might have done a piece on Fred and MTO. He's one of the top bloggers in the world, if not nationally. MTO is a big thing, and yet I would have a hard time believing that they would have the sophistication to garner something like the Huffington Post has done with informing folks. Talk about social responsibility, Captain. Talk about, you know, talk about them taking the hold of social, being socially responsible, while others, and we don't have the time to waste on this, Captain. We don't have the time. I'm talking about if we're going to be tribally, people of color, we do not have the time to waste on focusing on people's ashy heels or ashy thumbs. It's ridiculous. Any thoughts?
Well, the reality of this is, you know, you have the menstrual agenda. Some people want to remain as menstruals, okay? You got to check back in the archive because AfroNerd broke down the definition of menstrual for those of you who do not get it, who that's beyond your educational level. He broke that down very nicely. So look back in the archive for the menstrual definition. You have people that just want to remain there. Then you have the few people that want to evolve. You know, black people, you have to evolve. You're not locked into the hood. You understand? You don't necessarily... We live, you know, a lot of us do live in, let's say, the Detroit, you know, the lower boroughs of, you know, New York or Atlanta or Texas or, where, you know, Florida, Liberty City. Some of us do. A lot of us do live there. But, you know, some of us don't. But that doesn't mean you have to remain in that situation. It's all about evolving. You understand? We need to evolve, not devolve. All right? Evolve. That's what it's all about, and that's what AfroNerd Radio is all about. Evolve. You can go from something, you can go from nothing to something. That's what it's all about. Going from nothing to something. Evolve, not devolve, where you go from actual something, where you check the history, if you actually, you know, open the book and look at, you know, your ancestors and everything else, that they were kings, you know, they built pyramids, they built all those fancy type of things. You know, that, you know, at this given point, we're devolving. You understand? No, we're not supposed to devolve. We're supposed to evolve, do bigger and greater things. That's what we are supposed to be about. That's what the agenda is about. And that's what Afro-Nerdism is about. So always listen to the show, Afro-Nerd. Back over to you, sir.
All right, let's take a quick musical break. You know, one of the tenets of this program, we're essentially also trying to provide you with alternative entertainment, urban alternative. We'll play everything, things that are not being promoted or played on conventional radio. So, you know, in common fashion, in common Afro-Nerd fashion, this is the London Souls. The London Souls, Someday. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's get into it.
Gonna drown out there in the sea. It's gonna get much better. much fun. It's cooler than a tropical breeze. And then the bus coming, hop up on their old decree. Come on back, put yourself together, or you'll see the light of day without no wind or weather. Gonna get much better, you know you'll start to feel the vibe. So much fun, it's cooler than a tropical breeze. And then the fuss coming, hop up on that old decree. Come on back, put yourself together, you know you'll see the light of day without no window weather.
Okay, folks, we're back. That was the London Soul, Someday. Definitely check out afropunk.com or simply just go to YouTube and put in the London Souls. They're an excellent underground garage band, more or less, a band comprised of, a myriad of races. I think it has several African-American gentlemen involved. The lead singer, I believe, is African-American. But again, London Souls, definitely a group on the come up and a group to be feared. I mean, as far as their stage presence, London Soul Someday. All right, back into the fold, a little bit under the hour, Afternoon Earth featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I think we're just going to go about some of the topics, Captain, without really listing them. I'm just going to throw some things out there, some gristle on the grill, as it were, some meat on the grill, and we'll just unpack wax on this stuff. This is just coming up. I don't know how much traction this story is going to garner, Captain. I mean, we're dealing with literally 12 to 24-hour interest in stories. I think the public, maybe because of the Internet, well, probably by and large because of the Internet and just the way the media are in some way, nothing lasts long enough. And, you know, it's very peculiar to how some stories hang around and how some stories that can really be serious in nature, they just go away. I think it's just so many things, just fighting for attention. So anyway, the one thing that's going on right now is Joe Biden. He's known as being the master of the gaffe. I mean, he's consistently putting his foot in his mouth on a whole litany of topics. I mean, he's just not – I like Biden to a certain degree, but – they knew, ironically, when there was the vetting out process on the part of the Obama people, when they were looking for a vice president, they looked at his pluses and minuses, and they knew they were dealing with someone who's prone to gaffes. So this time around, before a predominantly black audience, he uses the term chain. He used the term chain as if it's a slavery remark. Now, I think he's going to get a pass on this because, one, he's a Democrat, and he was referencing Wall Street. But the irony is that, and this is what's coming in from the Republican side, they're saying that, well, listen, if a Republican used the term or used some kind of slave analogy or slave imagery, even in referencing Wall Street before a black audience, it wouldn't play too well. In his case, he basically says to a predominantly black audience that the Republicans are interested in putting y'all back. He said, no, this is what he said almost verbatim, putting, quote unquote, y'all back in chains. But he prefaced it by saying Wall Street. So he referenced Wall Street, putting Wall Street back in chains, but he said it before a predominantly black audience. So now, at least it appears that there's some sour milk and some criticism coming from the right, not so much from the left, not so much from leftist black folk. So was he inappropriate? Did he put his foot in his mouth? Is this much to do about nothing? What do you think happened here with him? You know, the reality is if a Republican did do this, I don't think it would have played out the way that it did. What are your thoughts on this, Captain? Oh, I got you on. Sorry about that.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. When you're in the presidential and the vice president position, here's what happens. You know, you have to be very careful because these are very powerful positions, as we all definitely know. But, you know, you have to be careful because, you know, a lot of what you say a lot of times is propaganda. It's propaganda. And, you know, you have to be rather polished in your movements, meaning which you have to look at everything that you do. And a lot of times when you're dealing with Biden at times likes to speak his mind at the given time. You can't do that in the VP position. You can't do it. You just can't do it. So at times he'll look like he'll stumble and he'll say things that he's not supposed to say. You have to have a poker face and you have to deal with a poker hand, because when you're in the presidential and also in the VP position, you have to put forth a certain face and play your hand differently. That's because that is how the hand is played. That's how the game is played. You have to be very careful. And Biden just seems like from time to time, it's like a ship folding in the ocean from time to time, not all the time, from time to time, with no anchor. And he's like, oh, why did he go do that? Why did he go do that? Does Obama feel the same way? Because Obama is definitely tied into him because of Obama. This is his running mate and everything else. You know, so Biden needs a little more couth. He needs to be a little more fine-tuned at times with what he puts out there. You understand? It's just the way that he does things. Actually, this right here, I think, is actually a controversy. But, you know, some people might run with it. But at the end of the day, I think it's ultimately a controversy because they're more looking at what Obama is doing, not so much what Biden is doing. Back over to you, Sir Afro-Nerd.
Yeah, I think it's a controversy. We'll see if it has any legs. And, it's, you know, I'm looking at the Chicago Tribune, and they encapsulate this pretty accurately. They're saying, I'm just going to read something briefly to really bring it home for our audience. It says, for years, Biden has suffered from a terrible affliction called burpees, with a B, the slang name for verbal herpes, from the Latin herpes verbalis. It comes from repeatedly taking your shoe with your foot still inside it and shoving it all the way into your mouth so that it smacks that little punching bag thing back there called a uvula. Biden has had burpees for years. This became apparent in 2006 when he was caught on C-SPAN greeting a supporter of Indian descent and telling him, "You cannot go to 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking."
Wow.
That's what he says. He wasn't joking then, and he wasn't joking in Virginia on Tuesday. Now, we remember the clean and well-spoken comment he said when President Barack Obama first came on the scene. He said that about his running mate, ultimately, President Barack Obama. He said that, and when socialized medicine, when health care was signed in, he said on a hot mic, "This is a big effing deal." So, you know, you can go down the line. It's probably a whole book on Biden-isms, where he's a knowledgeable guy, especially when it comes down to international affairs. I mean, there are specifics as to his prowess, as to his power set. So, you know, one of the reasons I would really believe, and it's been said many times too, Captain, one of the reasons that Barack Obama is president has a lot to do with having Biden there to give the public, at least this is what's been put out there, to give the public some assurances they have someone who has had long time public service. So to give the public more confidence in Barack Obama's governance, they felt that they needed to go to someone who was older, had more political experience, and could shore up some of the greenness, quote-unquote greenness, that President Barack Obama had. Not so much now. I mean, he's still learning, if you want to use that term, but when it was talk about him first getting in that White House and being taken seriously as the leader of the free world, they had to have Joe Biden there. But it was also, the caveat was, he knows his stuff, but he has foot and mouth disorder. I'm just curious if there isn't something there with, and honestly, Captain, this goes back and forth. It's like badminton going back and forth between the Republicans and the Democrats with one-upmanship. But they might have a point that if this verbal salad took place involving a conservative, that this wouldn't have been something you could just scoff off. You know, it is a little freaky. It is a little freaky to talk about, you know, I just read something that's even more specific as to what happened. Hold on. Okay, he says here, this I believe is coming in as a quote from Biden. "Look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing," Biden said of the Republicans at a campaign stop in Danville, Virginia. "Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Then it happened. Biden began waving his right hand, palm up, and he adopted what he must have thought was the accent of a black minister. Unchain Wall Street," said Preacher Joe, "reaching to the heavens. They're going to put y'all back in chains." And then the writer says, "Y'all. Is that how people in Delaware talk, or is it how white Democratic politicians speak when they're using dialect to talk down to black voters? What's next, Preacher Joe? Spirituals? Or are you going to carry around copies of A Raisin in the Sun and To Kill a Mockingbird?" Team Obama tried to defend Biden, but it was a nonsensical babbling, and the Republicans were eager to pounce. So this is, you know, this is more about political posturing, but I bring these things up. I bring them to our audience because, you know, there's a point, you know, you can't complain when you put your foot in your mouth and there might be some credence from the other side saying, "Hey, you know what? You guys can get away with this, but we can't." Might be something there. Might be something there. All right, moving right along. It's a lot to get into. I want to talk about someone that we actually had in the show in the early inception of Afro Nerd. we were lucky enough, and I need to put some feelers out and to get him back once again, Dr. John McWhorter. Now, Dr. McWhorter, he's an author, a linguist, a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, and many have oftentimes mistaken him for a conservative. He has a conservative bent. He has a conservative bent, but he would liken himself to being more of a centrist, if not a liberal. A liberal with some right bent, if you want, I'm saying it correctly. Some conservative leanings. He does his fair share of radio from the right and the left, but he has become a darling of the right because he does go into a certain type of conservatism, although he would say that he is a liberal. I believe he is a supporter of Barack Obama. So I think it's convenient for those who are on the left to label him a conservative, although I don't know if that's really, really accurate. Anyway, he wrote something recently that's causing a stir. This is pretty much something he should be used to by now because, you know, when you are a black person with a somewhat conservative bent, and I've been there, you can get into trouble. You know, if you go against type, you know, if you are a black liberal, that's an expectation, Captain. If you're a black liberal, it's an expectation. But if you're black and have somewhat of a conservative bent. Matter of fact, Juan Williams, who works for Fox, but worked for, I guess, decades with NPR, which is a leftist organization, leftist media organization, he went to the right on one issue, if you remember, if our audience remembers, and then was almost off with his head with his quote-unquote liberal compatriots. Anyway, McWhorter writes this piece, I believe, for was it New Republic, I believe? Yes, the New Republic. He wrote this piece for the New Republic, and it's being labeled as a defense on the behalf of white power music or white supremacist music versus hip-hop. Essentially what he's saying, I think actually the actual piece is called A Hip-Hop Enthusiast in Defense of White Power Music. So he himself has admitted that he is an enthusiast of hip-hop, I think because he has such a staid class manner. Like he's very almost unemotional. He's very straight guy. Perhaps he's still a relatively young guy in his early 40s. I think some folks would think that he probably is not a hip-hop head, but he would liken himself, like myself. I would consider myself a hip-hop head. I'm just very specific as to the type of hip-hop I like. So anyway, he's saying, as a hip-hop enthusiast, he's defending white power music. And the premise of his article, Captain, is essentially there's some pretty funky things about hip-hop as far as its messaging that has opened the door for the existence for white power music. That you can't really complain about white power music. And now white power music also come into play because of the tragedy in Wisconsin. We know now that the perpetrator of that horrendous act was in several white power bands of note for those on that in that musical genre. You know, it does have, I guess, some popularity in a certain subset, in a certain subgenre. He was in some pretty popular, several popular bands that espoused white supremacist methodologies or white supremacist thoughts. So he's saying, hey, there's some things that go down in the world of hip-hop, especially gangster music or some of the minstrel stuff that you and I rail against on this show, that open up the door for allowing the existence of white power music. Do you think he has a point on this?
Well,
Captain?
here's the reality. Until the NSA, the CIA, and MSNBC, Fox News, and CNN come out and say that music, all right, and if you look at the statistical analysis, you as the listener, you could actually do the due diligence and look these things up, okay? Until these bodies, your parents, I call them your parents, until these bodies come out and say that music is a sort of mind control, you will not really pay attention to what some people say when these individuals come out on wax. When you look at the statistical analysis, music is a form of mind control. What does that mean, though? What does that mean? That means if you're borderline, if you're a white supremacist and you have what they call borderline behavior, maybe schizophrenic behavior, all right, you're on the edge, the music that you're listening to because you're hearing it over and over again. We talk about here on Afro Nerd Radio, all right, we talk about memes. Memes attach yourself to the biophysical body. The biophysical body is where your mind is, okay? The mind is attached to the brain. The brain carries out the physical manifestation, your movements through your body. So the brain is the interface to the mind. You understand? So when you hear something over and over again, this is according to the NSA and the CIA, okay? When you look at their studies, and also the Tavistock studies that they have in England. You can look these studies up. They're on the internet. They realize you don't read anything. You will not do anything. You're too busy going to, you know, watching, you know, the Olympics, NFL, and, you know, reading foolish books and everything else. They realize, they put them out there. They put these things out there, and they realize you're not going to connect the dots. But if you actually do the due diligence and you connect the dots, you realize there is a sort of form of mind control. Now, that being said, here's the other thing you begin to realize when you actually do the studies. Two generations ago, you had the ability to really tell the difference between right and wrong. It started in my generation, as they would say. They would turn around and say, well, you know, this generation is not as good as the actual generation. You know, when we started going to, like, college and everything else, I would say that's like, you know, Afro doesn't like, you know, when we talk about our age. But I'll talk about it for here, for argument's sake. You know, let's say, like, 24 years ago, when we started going to college and everything, they said it was a drop-off in our intelligence, okay, at that given point. And the generation before that, they say a generation is anywhere between, you know, 20 to 30 years. So we split the difference 25 years ago. American population was very intelligent. Now at this point where we are right now, you cannot really tell right and wrong. You have a serious problem because the intelligence has been lowered. So when you hear these type of things, these particular things, you know, and you're on the borderline edge, borderline. We understand what borderline is. It's like taking a test, you know, which is passing the 65. If you're borderline, you can be put over the edge, hearing certain things repeated over and over again because it develops memes that attach to the biophysical body, that attach to the brain. The brain controls the body from the head top down, and then it carries out an action. So if you're on the borderline, it can push you over the edge. It definitely can push you over the edge. So when you hear something like this, you say, okay, the hip hop music for this generation, definitely, because from a statistical analysis, not from the captain's analysis, not from Afro Nerd's analysis, from the statistical, the governing body that you listen to, the MSNBC, the Fox News, the CNN, the NSA, the CIA, they say we're not as smart. We're not as intelligent. This is not Afro Nerd's analysis. This is not Captain Kirk's analysis. This is these, what you call your parents, actually. They're actually your parents, to tell you the truth. Because unless the information comes from them, You do not validate it, okay? So according to these individuals, the population is not as intelligent. So when you put out this type of music, it definitely can put you over the edge. So if you're borderline, because a lot of people are racist, so when you listen to the white supremacist music, it can put you over the edge based on the statistical analysis, okay? Now, I'm making a separation now. That's not AfroNerd's statistical analysis. That's not Captain Kirk's statistical analysis. That's the governing body's statistical analysis. It can put you over the edge. So he definitely has a point when he says, okay, referring it to the hip-hop music, because you listen to the hip-hop music. What is it? A lot of the listeners here at AfroNerd Radio know they listen to the music in the 90s. They listen to the music in the 80s when we had Fight the Power. You understand? We had all the tremendous lyrical content, and you listen to the garbage now. So if you do not have the ability to discern from right from wrong, you're on the borderline. You have droves of kids now that cannot read. You understand? You're on the borderline. You're less intelligent. It can put you over the edge. So the author, the writer of this article definitely has a point. It has a point. Even though, you know, when you're dealing with white supremacy, you're dealing with hate and everything else. This person was probably definitely on the edge already that he's particularly talking about. But he definitely has a point. He has a point. Because music, based on the statistical analysis of the NSA, the CIA, and then when MSNBC, Fox News, and CNN occasionally brings it out, it has an ability for those people that are borderline to exhibit a form of mind control on the individual. This is the truth. Back over to you, Sir AfroNerd.
Yeah, again, folks, just for the specifics, this is coming from the New Republic from a guest that we had a few years back, Dr. John McWhorter, academician, linguist, author, and the actual piece is called On Making Moral Judgments About White Power Music. Again, On Making Moral Judgments About White Power Music. And also, just a reminder to our audience, this is AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number is 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. You know, if you look at this piece, if you read the piece, I might have to put out the feelers once again to get Dr. McWhorter on the show because for him to explain this. But I think what he's saying actually is if we are to assume that hip hop music does not influence casual listeners, or maybe it's a combination of what you said and what I think he's saying, at least in the first part of the paragraph, is that one can make the assumption that hip hop music does not influence the casual listener. But like what you were saying, for those who might be on the border, it might push them over that. Because I think there's greater evidence to the conditioning process for hip-hop music than it would be for white power music. Because white power music is such a subgenre, and it's already going to attract people who already have a certain mindset to begin with. In other words, For the racist, for the burgeoning racist, or for someone who already has those kind of thoughts and belief in that belief system, they're going to seek out that kind of music. The difference between white power music and hip hop, or at least if anything, the gangster or the commercial, you know, the more dangerous style of hip hop that promotes misogyny and violence towards women, misogyny and violence, period, street culture. There's so much more evidence of it being part of a conditioning process in our culture. We're not listening to white power music, at least the public by and large is not listening to white power music day in and day out. I mean, it's inescapable hip hop music currently. Now it is the number one popular music art form today worldwide, bar none. So I think the conditioning element of it, where I've mentioned this many times on the show, Captain, where you could be in a car and just casually, I'm in a car casually, And if your windows are down and you're listening to the car next to you, whoever's in that driver's seat, the constant drumming, the constant doggerel about all kinds of reprehensible things, if that is going to be allowed, then unfortunately you're setting yourself up to allow for white supremacist music. That's essentially what I think his argument is. But as to the severity, as to what it does to the brain, I think it's more one can make the argument that I think hip hop is actually worse, because if anything, someone who's already deranged, and hopefully there's not that many people out there with really over the top racist beliefs, they're going to seek out racist music that already confirms what they already believe in. But for a person who's just casually listening to hip hop, and the fact that it's such a drumming in process where it's literally being drummed into your brain 24/7. And I think what you were referencing in your diatribe, Captain, was the lack of critical thought analysis, critical thinking. There's statistics to confirm this, that post 1990, college graduates are not. There's a lot of evidence to show that there's the element of critical thinking is missing. So if that's missing, you can just listen to something and not think it's a big deal, when it really is a big deal. All right, folks, we're at the closing moments, actually. We've got about 30 minutes remaining. We have a lot more to discuss. We've got to get to our music, back to the urban alternative. Let's groove a little when we get back. I want to talk about Ocho Cinco, Captain. Briefly, send out the clowns. Send out the clowns. This is Eyes Like Pearls by Dan Hunt. We'll be right back.
With loaded eyes, she took my arm. Her body was warm. As we walked in through the church door, with loaded eyes, she looked in mine. Told me I was.
Okay, we're back. That was Van Hunt, Morehouse graduate Van Hunt, Eyes Like Pearls, Eyes Like Pearls. All right, Captain, getting back into the fold, I want to move along to, well, to more clown BS, to be blunt, clown BS. Ocho Cinco, formerly Chad Johnson, formerly Chad Ocho Cinco, back to Chad Johnson. It's all shtick. It's all minstrelsy. This fool. You know, sometimes I have a hard time doing this, Captain, to be honest with you, because I hate talking about the inane. And I was about to just gloss over this story, but I must confess that I am intrigued as to the lack of control, the lack of comportment. I know human beings are not perfect, that we are all imperfect beings. But some of this stuff is so over the top, and it's so much of a Rube Goldberg moment for listeners of Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. I go in and out. Well, I shouldn't think of it. I have made a number of references to Rube Goldberg, R-U-B-E, Rube Goldberg. Rube Goldberg was an inventor. Inventor of a sight gag that all of us have seen at one time or another in cartoons and old TV shows, where Rube Goldberg was an inventor of these huge inventions where you would see like a pebble or a marble that would be used to start this complex machinery with all the pulleys and levers. And, you know, things are flipping and toasters are going up. All these things, you know, the size of a room, Captain. All these machinations, all this craziness. I think it was seen in Pee Wee Herman's movies. Any Bugs Bunny cartoon. This convoluted machinery to do the most simplest task. You'll have a room with all this machinery. And it ends up being able to flip a hamburger or something, you know. And it's a sight gag. And I liken some of lower tier shenanigans to a Rube Goldberg machine, that you can go through all kinds of nonsense, all kinds of maneuvers, all kinds of behavioral expectations, a whole bunch of pratfalls, only to end up to simply lose your job or to simply go to jail. But it took 10 maneuvers to go to jail, almost like a Monopoly game. It took you 10 moves to ultimately go to jail, to ultimately lose your livelihood. So once again, we have another young black face of note in the news that just screwed up beyond comprehension, and then you have to have the customary letter ultimately drafted by a publicist that has to say, this is a period we're going through. I have to apologize. We're going through a difficult time, our family. You know, it's the same old crap. This man lost his reality show, which wasn't about much anyway, but it was still some money involved in that, Captain. He lost the reality show, he lost a beautiful wife, and he lost his football career in 24 hours. What the hell? What is that, actually? It seems like are we dealing with low intelligence, low IQ? Are we dealing with cognition? I'm just wondering how that works. How do you lose a seven-figure contract? You know, Evelyn Lozado, I believe, is the young lady's name. He was married to this woman for approximately 41 days, and it was a big hullabaloo, a big hoopla attached to their courtship and the TV show. I mean, everything was just played up for cameras, and then it just goes up in a big cloud of smoke. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, here's the reality. I actually have the privilege of knowing some people that know this particular woman personally. Now, this is not to drop thunder, lightning, and feces on the lower tier, because some women that come from the lower tier appendages actually clean themselves up and do very well. Okay? I repeat that. Some women that come from the lower tier appendages, okay, clean themselves up and do very well. But the people that know this woman that I know said to me, he had no business dealing with this woman. No business whatsoever. And also, Mr. Chad Johnson had no business. When a woman jumps in your face, and I know men, listen to me. Listen to me. There's a lot of times that women do things, and you want to put your hands on them. This is not a third world country. This is not a second world country. This is a first world country.
Damn.
You have to be able to.
You got to be a stupid motherfucker
away.
To get fired on your day off.
There you go. You have to be able to walk away. Okay? When the woman gets you upset, take a walk around the block 15, 20 minutes. All right? And do what you do. That's what you go ahead and go do. Do what you do.
You're going to get fired on your day off.
Or go to your mama's house and disappear for 3-4 days. And she'll be calling all around because she will think that you're with another woman. That's what you go do when she pisses you off. Do not headbutt the woman because they will call the police. And you will be paying the mortgage on the house while she's there and you cannot go there. This is America, gentlemen. You have to understand. Sometimes these women definitely do things that can piss you off. But here's the thing. Now let's look at the whole situation.
We have a caller also, Captain, by the way. We have a caller, by the way. But go ahead,
okay.
I'm just letting you know.
What's the area code there?
It's 715.
Okay, tell 715 to hold on real quickly. Tell them to hold. 715, hold on. We'll get to you in just a moment, sir. Now, listen. I believe I know who that is. Now, listen. Here's the situation. Okay? You have to be able to walk away in a situation. Now, also, Chad Johnson, I believe he's a 6-times Pro Bowler. Now, he was at the Patriots. What did he have? Okay? You have Tom Brady, one of the best quarterbacks we have seen of all time, arguably in the top 5. Okay? I put Dan Marino at the top, then Peyton Manning second, then you could fit in anybody third. All right? One of the best quarterbacks all time. Yeah, I think he had 15 catches the whole year. His performance has dropped off. Here's the next thing. The NFL is cracking down on the upstart Negro business, all right? All that singing and dancing, I'm the man, they don't want to see it. They want you as the black man to be more corporate. Hello, because you're playing for a corporation. You might not necessarily punch a clock and go 9 to 5, you understand? Yes, you go to practice, you lift weights, and you're out of there within maybe 3.5 hours. Typical 9 to 5, you do 8 hours, 7 hours, 7 hours of your workday, 1 hour for your lunch and everything else. That's a typical 9 to 5. But you're actually part of a corporation. They want you to be corporate, black man. They don't have time for all of that, you know, that foolishness, swagger, I'm the man and everything else. You understand? Because it causes a cancer in the locker room. They don't want to see it. They don't want to see it. So, Chad Johnson, you know, and prosaically known as Ocho Cinco, they don't want to see it. They don't want to see it. So when you caught the incident, you went in, they said, okay, he's out of here. He's supposed to be spitting left. He spit it right. He decided to spit right, get rid of him. Then he comes out and loses the reality show. Now, of course, we're going to have some callers that say, oh, they should have gave him a break. They should have gave him a this. They should have gave him that. Yes, but you have to realize, when you're on the bubble, the NFL does not want to see the upstart black person doing the dig anymore. If we go back in time, when Deion Sanders, remember the song, Must Be the Money That's Turning Me On? He performed on the field. He wasn't beating down any women. You understand? He performed incredibly on the field. Probably, I'm not sure, but he might be a Hall of Famer, or he'd be a Hall of Famer later on. All right? He did his thing. He's one of the fastest people in NFL of all time. You understand? You have to maintain a certain level within the NFL. If you don't maintain it, goodbye. Goodbye. It's very simple. Back over to you, Sir Afanos. Let's get to the caller.
Yeah, I want to take this call. Just one quick thing, just for further information for our audience. With Chad Ochocinco Johnson, allegedly Evelyn Lozado, his wife, soon-to-be ex-wife now, I'm hearing a talk of divorce proceedings. 41 days, folks, 41 days. I believe that even beats the record for Kim Kardashian, by the way. Anyway, she allegedly found a receipt for a purchase of condoms, and that really sent her over the edge. And also, in all fairness, she has had a violent streak that's been talked about. Like her representation on the flip side, her representation for women of color has been lousy and has been heavily critiqued on the show because she has gotten into violent rages and violent rants. So these two together are reprehensible. And let's say that she's in the right on this one. Let's say that she's in the right. What is the deal with women who seem to overlook moral fiber and moral fiber and moral structure in a man for the money? This is what you marry. This is what you marry. You decided to not pay attention to the morality of a man. I see this all the time, Captain. We see women go on and on about men, and you know, I guess women can be just as superficial as men. But it seems to be this thing where do you look closely at the man for what's his moral barometer? How is he as far as his morality? I never hear that being put out there from women as being as important as it is to financial success. Oh, sure, he makes a good dollar. But is he? What kind of guy is he? Is he a moral person? All right, let's go to the call. Let's open up the lines. 715, welcome to Afternet Radio. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from. Tell us what's up.
My name is Martin Adams. I've been on the show a few times.
We know you. We know you, sir. Hey, you're always welcome.
Hey, Martin, what's up?
What's going on? Good to hear. This is good to be on the show. This subject was just completely appalling to me for a few reasons. Number one, I don't know if you guys did your research. You might alluded to it earlier. I don't know. But come to find out, Chad has had this incident occur when he was in college as well. So this is the first time he has a domestic situation. My problem with this gentleman is you're playing for the National Football League. What does that stand for? Not for long. You have few and far opportunities in this league, and a wide receiver is a dime a dozen in this league. Everybody on earth runs 4.4 seconds in a 40 and under now. Okay, T.O. is 39 years old. Got himself back into Seattle. Why? Because he can run, and they're gonna give him his shot. My problem with Chad, you got a second opportunity after a horrid season with Tom Brady of all people. Okay. He had a horrible season. He had 15 catches and one touchdown. And you were a starter, which I don't know how in the world Belichick put up with that. However, so he gets cut, and they pick him up, and he does this. And I don't – regardless – let's just say she was in the right. Let's just say hypothetically – let's just say – She assaulted him. Regardless, why would you put yourself in that situation is what bugs me. And as far as she's concerned, you know, she's on this show called Basketball Wives. I had a beef with my cousin about this. They shouldn't have called the show Basketball Wives. It should have been called Basketball Groupies because none of those females were married. So I had an issue with that as well. Not one of them were married. Okay? So there's too many red flags in this situation. I'm sick and tired of athletes, regardless of race, color, or creed, you know, getting second and third opportunities. It's ridiculous. You know, you're a millionaire as it is. Why would you put yourself in this situation? You know what? If you've seen the show, okay, if you've seen the show, she is a spitfire. She has a, hey, and I'm not saying either one is right or wrong, but regardless, Hey, if you know the fire is about to start, you are a grown man. You have agents that are coaching you up how to present yourself in the NFL, because they have classes on this type of stuff for how these guys have to conduct themselves, because they have a conduct clause. You turn yourself around and you get the hell out of Dodge. You don't even put yourself in a situation like this. So as far as I'm concerned, I do not feel sorry for Chad. I do not think he gets another opportunity to play this year. And it's just another sad story, but I don't feel bad for him, and I'm just sick of hearing stories like this.
Yeah, and Martin, and just to tap your own cred, you are the coach for the Chippewa Valley Predators.
Yes, sir.
I want to understand this, because it happens so much, so frequently, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I know you would not do this. I know I can speak for myself. I can speak for the captain. Who screws up a seven-figure salary? How does that happen?
Exactly.
You know, that's the main thing. That's why I'm having a difficult time. It's one thing if you're working for Mickey D's. If you're working for Mickey D's, then you really don't care. Well, if you're working for, you're getting these checks are phenomenal checks. To have the opportunity to play this, it would be in my mind that you just, I mean, this young man allegedly headbutted this woman. Headbutting a woman is like headbutting a puppy. Like, you can overpower her. It's not like a mystery. Go away. Walk away. And the bottom line is, it looks as if she was right for calling you out. I mean, she's wrong for going through and, you know, maybe looking for something. Because, you know, the old adage, if you're looking for something, you're going to find it. Okay, I understand that. But the whole thing is, it's a mess. It's a complete mess. I just want to know, are we dealing with people with low intellect? I want to be frank, because this doesn't go. I can't do the calculations on this. You know, there's nothing that's going to release my hand from a seven-figure check, gentlemen. Nothing. So, I like you, Martin. I'm at my wit's end. I'm just curious to you, Martin. Can you? I mean, you talked about this. When these young men are sat down,
mm-hmm.
are they really listening? Are you having somebody like a straight shooter saying, "Hey, listen, man, there's a certain way that the black man, the brown man, the man of color is viewed in society, that you can't get caught up in this dumb BS, that you're able to have an impressive salary. Don't do anything stupid unless you want to do something stupid. That's your style." I just want to know, are we talking, real lame, or are you really putting it on these young men to say, stop being a dummy? What's the conversation like?
I mean, here's the problem, and that's a very good question. Here's the problem I have with Chad. You know, what I think, and it's an assumption on my part, but I'm just going by what I see, it's entitlement. It's all entitlement. I can't be touched. I'm Ocho Cinco. You know what I'm saying? It's like, really? Well, and then I don't know if you guys heard when they had Jim Rome. They sat down. You know, he had the audio of when the Miami Dolphins let him go. I heard it today. I don't know if you heard the footage at all, but you know, you can just hear it in the coach's voice. He was just done. He says, you know, we just have to, you know, separate from each other, and it's just not going to work. Why? This man was done. This dude was – here's the thing, Afro Nerd. He was number one in the depth chart going in. He was number one. He was going to start. He had every opportunity. And you know what? Kudos to that damn coach. I'm getting sick and tired of people that hit the lottery and throw the money away. It's ridiculous. And then he has the nerve to become humble when he's getting sat down. Just like the cop that all of a sudden you get caught on the corner. All of a sudden, yes sir, no sir. Why are you not doing that prior to the crime? Why? I don't understand. But as soon as you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, you want to be humble and yes sir. Oh, coach, I'm just letting you know I'm giving you my all. I came to this team and I was going to be quiet. And I wasn't going to say anything, and he didn't. But you know what? You acted a fool outside of the field. You know why? Because you don't know how to act. So you know what? We got something for people that don't know how to act. You have you and your agent figure it out now. Figure it out. You're 34 years old. If I'm running a team right now, there's no way in hell I'm taking him. Let's see. 34 years old, 20-something. You do the math. Knees that are in bubble wrap, or you got knees that got oil that got to be put on it? This is a business, my friend.
And you know something, Martin, you just talked about this, and I referenced it also. What I don't get now is now you have to be humble. See, now you're corporate now. You see, when I saw the letter that was is a letter that they posted out there of this mea culpa letter of, you know, this is my family, we're going through a time, I'm pleased to accept my apology. It's so corporate, it's so well drafted. I would assume it's probably his publicist, not him. Whatever. Everything is corporate and on the money once you drop the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we see, there's enough of these cases, Martin, where I would think it should be used as an instructional tool, practically. You can practically have sit these guys in a room and put Ocho Cinco's face on the board and say, this is where this stupid MF messed up. Let's go down the line. Let's do the mechanics. Let's do the math on this. I mean, now you have enough, so many examples to say, and now this is what happens. He's got to be the goofball with the letter to the public asking for apologies. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I don't know what this is. To me, I think this is really about a certain level of intelligence. I mean, what's the test that these guys have to take that many of them fail? What is that test football players take?
The Wunderlic test.
The Wunderlic. Are they getting zeros on that? Oh, let's keep it 100.
No, you gotta score a certain score. They will not touch you.
Actually, he did very well on that. He did very well in his rookie year on that test. Here's the reality of this. Well, these individuals, just like the rappers, all right, you're in corporate America. It is a corporation. The NFL is a corporation, which stands for not for long. You understand? It is a corporation. And as we know, Afro, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here on this, when you go and you go work and you punch a clock for corporate America, you have a certain style, you have a certain dress, you have a certain way you have to conduct yourself at the end of the day. You have to put on your suit and everything else, you know, look clean, nice, and talk a certain way. This is a corporation at the end of the day. And if you read the fine print with the NFL, if you do anything there that makes the NFL look essentially bad, we can dismiss you based on these actions. Hello! Break out your magnifying glass, and you need to read that, all the players. I don't care how good you are. Then also, too, if you have a lot of swagger, if you're talking crazy, if you're carrying it on, they say, okay, all right, this person is playing very good, which he wasn't at the given time. This person is playing very good. I'll let it go a little bit. I'll let it go.
Captain, we have under a minute. Okay. We're going to have to close the shop, right, unfortunately. Martin, you're a friend of the show. You're welcome anytime. We're going to have to bring you back for anything, but especially sports. We need you back for your wisdom.
Sure, I would love
so,
that.
I'll let the captain do the discussions with you on that. Hey, you know, hopefully we won't see this again, but I think we will. There's going to be more fools coming down the pipe. I see it coming. It doesn't stop. All right, gentlemen, as always, let's go on out on a high note. This is Electric Yellow by Teresa Janine. Teresa Janine. See you on Sunday for the Double Duty Show, Comic Shop and Afro Radio. Thanks again.
secret.